This is the Pretentious Wrestling Podcast, a production of ProWrestling.net. I'm Will, he's Jake. You can follow us on Twitter at @itswilltime and at @BarnettJake. On today's show, surprise, we've got a brand split. So Jake, I woke up this morning, bleary-eyed, I roll over, pick up my phone like I do, like I'm sure most people do when they wake up, because our society has a lot of issues, that among them, and I start scrolling through Twitter. See people talking about a brand split. I'm like, what? That's not a... Hold on. Check my email, see the WWE sent out a press release, and there's a brand split happening. Raw and SmackDown are going to be two distinct shows. You just found out you get Thursday nights off, but Tuesday nights are going to get a little busier for you because SmackDown is moving live to Tuesday nights. I am kind of dumbfounded by this announcement. This seems like a new thing in WWE, and we're going to get the return of the brand split era. Are you excited?
I would say I'm cautiously optimistic. I don't want to say I'm super excited because, you know, the last brand split, there were issues. You know, it was great at first, and then, you know, they failed to really commit to it, and, you know, it quickly, you know, I guess eventually collapsed in on itself, and they were back to one roster again. So, I hope they can develop two separate shows that have two separate identities, and it seems like, you know, based on the press release, that is at least the premise of this. And, you know, as a guy who covers SmackDown, I'm excited to have Thursday nights back, because it's, you know, a much more difficult night to give up than Tuesday. So I'll look forward to, you know, having the end of the week to myself where I can take long weekends away from work and whatnot and stuff again. So selfishly, that is on my plate. But I'm also excited to have a live show. It's something that Mauro and Jerry Lawler sort of talked about when they first became that new announced crew over there, and we were just kind of waiting for something to happen with that. And it seems like this is what was promised, and they're finally going to deliver on it.
Yeah, it does seem like this was the plan far earlier than what they've ended up doing with it. I kind of wonder if all the injuries delayed what was actually the plan. Obviously, WWE had to scramble to get WrestleMania together with Rollins, Cena, Orton, Cesaro, you know, with a lot of guys on the shelf. They had to scramble. Bryan having to retire, I'm guessing he played into early plans. They had to scramble to get this WrestleMania in any sort of shape. And I mean, the card wasn't good, but they managed to put together an attraction people wanted to see. And that's what was important to them at the time. And I kind of think this may have been the plan starting with the relaunch on the USA Network, that they wanted to do these distinct brands. You talked about Mauro and things he said in interviews at the time. Mauro and Lawler kind of saying, hey, it's going to be live, it's going to be this, and having to walk that back. Mauro also said he expected more of an NXT influence on SmackDown. We've seen a lot of guys from NXT get called up. We've seen changes in writers with NXT's writer head former head writer Ryan Ward moving to the main roster. Do you think it's possible that NXT influence on SmackDown extends to the way the show is booked, that we're going to get a distinct feel the way NXT tells stories different than the main roster, that we are actually going to get that on the SmackDown brand?
Yeah, I almost think that introduces more question marks, to be honest, because how they go about building these network specials, and I guess now that they're not pay-per-views anymore, they have the flexibility to do more of them or less of them or however they want to, you know, arrange this. There was that period where they alternated between Raw and SmackDown pay-per-views, and I don't know if we're going to end up back in that situation or if we're just going to have, you know, these independent general managers or leaders of these shows making matches for one single event, or how this is going to all fit together when it's all said and done. But I think the NXT influence could be both positive and negative. I think NXT does a fantastic job of building long term to their takeover shows, but they often sacrifice short term excitement, and you end up with a lot of episodes that kind of feel like filler. And so I hope we don't end up with that. I hope they manage to, you know, at least bring what NXT does well, which is long term booking and structure and also sort of keep some of the things that the main roster does well, which is surprises and things like that. So I think we'll, you know, there's good and bad there. And because they still have, you know, the old crew around, along with people like Ryan Ward and people they're bringing in for this, I'm hoping we see sort of a best of both worlds. I mean, it could go either way.
That's a really good point. NXT is not the most exciting show to watch on a regular basis. We have, I've talked about it a lot. I get bored watching the weekly NXT show. Takeover specials are phenomenal. I always get excited to see what matches are announced, to see what's going to be on those shows. But weekly NXT TV is largely skippable. I would hate to see SmackDown following that model. Now, if SmackDown becomes an exciting show that mixes what the main roster does well and what NXT does well, I think they would have something really, really special, and I think this could be a chance to capitalize on that. I wonder about the pay-per-views as well, though. Are we going to have every 2 weeks? I mean, if you remember, and it was a little different because people were paying $40 a show back then, but SmackDown and Raw-only pay-per-views were horrible half the time. They were really tough to get through, especially some of those SmackDown ones that were just like pulling teeth. I very much hope that they don't that they don't end up going that route with things. But if they did maybe 2 hour specials that are brand exclusive on the network and on occasional Sunday nights, and then big shows like the Rumble, obviously Survivor Series, SummerSlam, and WrestleMania had the brands coming together, I think you could end up with something really, really compelling.
Yeah, I think it would add value to the network. I mean, they're running the weekends anyway, you know, whether it's a house show or, you know, a larger, you know, more intricately produced event. I think they have, you know, the ability to, you know, drag that set around if they have to. I mean, it's an interesting problem for them to have, because they have this ability now, you know, where they have enough people on the roster and they have enough people creatively where they can sort of try to pursue two different directions with the products, and Raw and SmackDown can be unique and different. But they have to figure out a way to do that, and they have to also add value to the network, and they have to sell, you know, all these other outside ventures and interests that WWE has going on all the time. And so it's going to be interesting to see how they put all of this together, and if it's cohesive or if it's, you know, wildly different between the two brands. I'm kind of, that's the part of this that sort of, you know, piques my interest. I hope we don't end up with the same, you know, sort of brand split brutality that we saw last time.
Yes.
They just didn't have the roster at certain moments. I mean, there was, you know, periods where Raw was pretty good, and there were periods like the SmackDown 6 where SmackDown really excelled, and then there was other times where it was like, whoa, we are really thin, and we would really benefit from not having this going on right now. And so, you know, if injuries get bad again, what does that mean? You know, you can't really predict that stuff. So I hope it doesn't mean NXT gets totally depleted, and I hope it doesn't mean we end up with boring shows, because that would be horrible.
Yeah, I kind of think NXT has to get depleted to make the rosters deep. I don't think it's going to get pillaged and plundered. Obviously, a touring NXT brand is important to WWE, but I would say two strong Raw and SmackDown brands are important as well. I think we lose all but maybe one top star in NXT. I wonder who that ends up being. I think we're going to see possibly even more international and other signings to NXT, the way we've seen a lot of TNA guys come in, the way we've seen a lot of just top name indie talents come in, like your Samoa Joes as well. I'm curious to see what NXT ends up bringing come, you know, July, when this roster split actually occurs. What? Hey guys, it's a big day in wrestling news. We found out there's a gosh darn brand split happening. Jake and I barely scratched the surface of all of the potential, all of the ideas, all of the things that could happen in this show. If you want more brand split talk, listen to .NET Weekly. Get ProWrestling.net membership right now. Listen to the .NET Weekly audio show that Jason Powell and Brian Fritz are recording today. They are going to talk about all of the brand split news. They're going to break it down. They've got the news. They've got the analysis. They've got everything you could possibly want as far as the brand split goes. Plus, even more, Jason Powell and I spent the last 3 weeks on .NET Weekly going over the entire WWE roster. If you want to familiarize yourself with what WWE has on hand going into the brand split and get some exclusive thoughts and notes on each guy, .NET Weekly is your place. Get ProWrestling.net membership. It's $7.50 if you just want to try it out for a month. It's a big month. You should try it out this month. Or if you want to lock it in, take the annual option, not get caught off guard by news like this again. $5.50 a month, annual option, lock it in, get a year of .NET membership. Guys, I think you're really going to love it. I believe in what we do. And now I'll return you to the show. So the show's having distinct identity. That to me is something really worth looking at. I've watched these buildings NXT has been running for house shows that are kind of small. In the WWE scale of things, they're small, but they're theaters. They are they're unique looking buildings, kind of like the early days of Raw, where Raw would run just, you know, well, the Manhattan Center and various other very unique looking buildings. And I've said since the beginning, they need to run SmackDown in these venues. Who cares if you sell it out and can't, you know, who cares if you have to take a small reduction in ticket sales? It's worth it to get a hot product in front of a small, hot, passionate crowd. I stand by that now that I look at this brand split happening. SmackDown happening in those venues instead of the very generic arenas with the same generic sets would make me very happy.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat. I mean, I don't know how feasible it is. I think there's a logistics end to that where, you know, you're talking about getting trucks in and things like that, where a lot of these small buildings probably fall well short of WWE's normal expectations for loading in and loading out and you know, building their sets and tearing them down. And I'm sure all that factors into, you know, where they can run on a weekly basis. But I think if they can scale back in some way, and they don't have to run these NBA or NHL sized stadiums or every week if they're only selling what I think it's like 5,000 to 7,000 tickets was the last estimate I saw.
Yeah.
That seemed remotely accurate. And so, you know, if it looks, you know, like they can scale back and get into smaller buildings and have sellouts and get loud crowds, and then once you have, you know, enough sellouts in a row where it's like, okay, well now we can expand again. Now we can, you know, build this back up and put it in a Target Center in Minneapolis or the American Airlines Arena in Dallas or, you know, some of those bigger buildings that seat 20,000 people. You know, it looks bad on TV when you see those things only half full. It's just disappointing to watch, and the acoustics end up being bad, and it's just not a great experience whether you're live or watching on television. And so if they can create a different atmosphere for their television show by, you know, sort of scaling back and having a building that's right sized for the audience they want to attract, I think it could be a huge advantage to a show like SmackDown.
Yeah, and it kind of seems low risk with SmackDown too. It's a show that's not doing exceptionally well, and it lets you establish a unique identity for it. And if it doesn't work, you go back to the sanitized arenas. It's as simple as that. What do you think the authority structure ends up being like? I think that Shane and Stephanie are here to stay on Raw. I know a lot of people have predicted that it seems natural that Shane and Stephanie split, but I think that dynamic is better to keep together than have on separate shows. So I wonder, do we get someone else running SmackDown? Is it a Shane and Stephanie split? What do you think occurs there?
You know, I honestly hope it's more along the lines of NXT. I think it's one of the things that NXT does pretty well. They have an authority figure that doesn't get in the way. You know, it's William Regal's well respected. He makes matches. He makes crowd pleasing announcements. Mm-hmm. You know, those are the kinds of things where, you know, it's very obvious that his interest is in building NXT as a brand and making exciting matchups. He doesn't, you know, slant the table in one direction or another. He's not looking to punish heels, as a matter of course. You know, he'll do it in the context of a storyline if it's deserved or something. But I having a leader that has you know, enough wrestling IQ and enough cachet within WWE that they might be able to have some input on their character and offer suggestions about, you know, the way that they would prefer to go about taking on that role. I think it would be, you know, a huge bonus. I don't know, you know, exactly who that would be at this point in time, but I think it could be a much different role than we see from the McMahons, who are, you know, very political. They're very scheming and conniving in ways. And so we could use a break from that, and SmackDown's an opportunity for them to get away from that.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I think one of the more refreshing things when you watch NXT is the William Regal authority figure, the guy that is fair no matter what. And he's going to make decisions that keep things as fair as possible. I'd love to see WWE emulate that. I think Triple H could be an option, but it might be too soon to put him in charge and have him be the NXT Proud Papa on SmackDown. It might just be too soon after the heel run where he basically had to insult the entire audience for months and months as we drudged into WrestleMania. I wonder about guys who aren't wrestling anymore. William Regal's got to be up there as an option. I wonder about a guy like Daniel Bryan, who certainly has the charisma to pull it off. He's got the faith in the fans. And if they want the show to feel different, have Bryan say, I'm making a show I want to watch. Shinsuke Nakamura is here. Finn Balor's here. Samoa Joe's here. I love these guys. It's definitely a way to make sure that those guys are presented on the right rosters, on the right show.
That's interesting, just from the perspective of, you know, Brian being universally beloved like he is. If they were to put together, you know, a draft, and he would be announced as the GM of SmackDown before the draft and be allowed to make his own picks and say that I'm going to build the show that I want to watch, you know, you'd probably have immediate fan buy-in to, like, yeah, oh, this is Daniel Bryan's show. This is going to be totally different. This is going
to... It's a way to co-opt the audience that is likely to say, it's not different enough. It's this. It's like, oh, no, exactly. It's Daniel Bryan's show.
Yep, exactly. I think that would be a huge coup for them, and it would be... I think you'd have buy-in from the audience that probably ignores SmackDown because they know they're going to get everything.
That's me, actually.
Well, I think it's a, I think it's a valid, you know, position to take, because they so often ignore it, and what happens very rarely matters, and they often cover anything that does matter on Raw in its entirety. To, you know, they cover all the important parts in a short video package. So, I don't think it's necessarily, you know, a bad position to take. So if they are able to get that audience to transfer, you know, I think SmackDown gets about 1 million less viewers than Raw, maybe 1.5 million. If you're able to get even half that audience to move over and see, oh, you know, Daniel Bryan's doing something entirely different. It doesn't feel like Raw. It doesn't feel like the same kind of show where, you know, I can expect the authority figure to interfere or to slant the table. I think people would be interested in giving it a shot. You know, whether they can hold on to that audience, I'm not so sure.
Yeah, I think you would get more people watching with that. He's a star that you could use to really get hardcore fan buy-in. And if the show is presented the right way, I think it could work really well. What guys do you see getting a shot that they wouldn't normally get in a brand split world? We haven't talked even about the world title situation, and maybe that's a whole other show sometime. But what wrestlers do you think get a chance to shine with a brand split that maybe wouldn't without one?
You know, I think we may see AJ Styles become a major champion on one of these shows, where I don't think he would in the current environment. I think they absolutely trust him to have fantastic matches and be part of main event programs, but he's not going to be the guy like Roman Reigns is. And so he might get a chance to carry a major championship and be, you know, the head talent on any given show. I think a guy like Finn Balor would get more opportunity in this environment than he would in a non-split environment. Samoa Joe is one of those guys who mm-hmm. could move up and have a huge impact, where, you know, he might get lost in the cracks. Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn. I mean, I think these guys have the ability now to be major players. Cesaro is probably another one too.
Yeah, Cesaro was the first guy that came to mind for me as a guy that I see getting more of an opportunity in a world where They're the top just isn't as crowded. You look, Seth Rollins is back. John Cena is back. Randy Orton's coming back. All of these guys slot in above Cesaro one way or another. Roman Reigns obviously is going to slot in above Cesaro. I even think guys like Chris Jericho and Dean Ambrose slot in above Cesaro. You've got a really crowded world above Cesaro right now, and even the guys he can get on equal footing with, they've got more history, so they're going to go with them. He's a guy who could really shine given the chance to be in something like this, to be in a top program. AJ Styles, too, I think, has a chance to go a lot further with a sort of brand split occurring. The roster's deep. Like, I've said it for years, or for the last, year, as WWE has been scooping up talent and really stocking the NXT roster. I've said the roster's deep. They can do this. Do you worry about Raw still being 3 hours? Do you, Jason, I know his big concern has been you're talking about taking half the crew away from Monday Night Raw when you do this. How do you fill that time?
Yeah, I think the three-hour Raw is still going to be an albatross, you know, and it'll be more difficult with a more limited crew. I think it's going to be incumbent upon the writers to find ways to fill it. I don't think it's been a lack of talent that's been on these shows that's been a reason that Raw's been dragging so much. It's a lack of good storytelling. So if they can, you know, if they can make that new roster, whatever it looks like, and whatever their, you know, the influx of talent is from NXT onto that show, if they can make everybody feel important and feel like they have a purpose, I think that 3 hours would go by a lot faster. I think the problem is they, you know, there's so much focus on the main event storyline, and whether that comes from Vince or Stephanie or whoever leading the creative team, that a lot of other people get lost in the shuffle. So I think it's going to be lifting up the people that are in that mid card and on the lower end of the card into more purposeful and meaningful roles that will help that 3 hours go by faster.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think it's going to be, and also longer matches. I think the shows having distinct identities, it helps. Like, it really will help make the 3 hour Raw feel like less of a slog. If SmackDown feels and looks different, 3 hour Raw is not a problem. Well, as much of one, it's still a very long night. But I think there's that. I think distinct divisions there. Talking about what they do with the women is kind of an interesting subject now. Are they going to have two women's world titles? Are we going to have all of the women on one brand and maybe something like cruiserweights or, say, tag teams on another brand that keep it fresh? I remember that from the early days of SmackDown. It was, well, cruiserweights are exclusive to SmackDown and the women's title is exclusive to Raw. I don't necessarily love that, but I'd be curious to see how they do those divisional divides come time for it. Are you excited about this? Like, do you think this is a good move right now, or are you dreading it a little bit?
You know, I think exclusive titles is probably a mistake, at least in the early going. I think floating champions is probably just fine. I mean, there's more room for, you know, variety, especially at the pay-per-view level, if they avoid having exclusive champions, because then, you know, once you run out of things to do, then you got to do the, oh, we signed this new free agent BS, where, yeah, like, you know, they can't float around and find the challenger that makes the most sense from a storyline perspective. Because while one brand has the championship feud going for X belt, the other one can have a number one contenders feud going and still, you know, not have to worry about running into each other from a storyline perspective. So I think floating champions makes the most sense, at least at first. They may find, you know, that they don't have enough going on to keep everybody busy, if that's the case, and then, you know, they can add a championship if they need to at some point. But I think, you know, until they have this established, they don't need to just create belts out of thin air.
Yes, I agree. I don't think it's time to do the divided championship, especially the world championship. It's not time. I do think the U.S. and Intercontinental titles should become brand exclusive, but those are really the only titles I would advocate that for, at least right now.
Why can't the Intercontinental Championship be the leading title on SmackDown? People chasing that and adding prestige to it would be a huge deal. I mean, you know, yeah, there was a time in not that long ago where into the IWGP Intercontinental Championship when it was held by Nakamura felt just as important as their world championship. And I think you could achieve that if you made the Intercontinental Championship exclusive to SmackDown and had everybody who meant something on that show chasing it.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I think there's a chance to almost take the Intercontinental Championship scene they have now, add a major player to, say, John Cena and Shinsuke Nakamura, and say, cool, this is the top of this brand. This is what we're doing. These are our lead guys. They're going to have 25 to 30 minute matches at the top of our shows for this title. I would like to see it. I don't know that WWE sees the Intercontinental title that way, and I don't know that they necessarily would want to do that. But there's just so much to talk about. Jake, I'm excited about you and I sitting down and doing a draft on this show. I'm excited about all of the fun things that we kind of get to speculate about and do up until the live SmackDown launches in the middle of July. What excites you most about this announcement, aside from getting your Thursday nights back?
I think it's a chance for a clean break. You know, there's generally the summertime in WWE tends to, you know, get a little bit slow, and so I'm hoping that, you know, this happening at the right time of the year will mean we won't have that characteristic lull. You know, I guess it's generally, you know, the few months preceding SummerSlam and the few months afterwards where WWE just seems to you know, to lose interest in their product in a way and just kind of coast into the major shows. So I'm hoping this brand split lets them, you know, refocus themselves creatively long before WrestleMania season comes around, so things are really sharp by the time we get there.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I hope we get to I hope that creatively we don't just hit a drastic plunge of sadness, that we actually get something really good and compelling. I think this opens the doors for long-term storytelling a little bit more long-term storytelling, because Raw and SmackDown, you're only going to get them weekly. You don't have to burn through stories twice as fast. You can really make your points. You can settle in. And I think it makes for more top stars in the long run as well. We're going to get a few more top guys in WWE. And as long as they know how to make them the right way, and that's another topic for another day.
Obviously another topic, but it allows them to build dream matches again.
Yes. That was
something that's been missing for a long time.
Shawn Michaels and Undertaker is a perfect example of that. They were on separate brands for years. So when they finally challenged each other, it felt like a dream match. When that challenge finally came for WrestleMania 25, it felt like the biggest thing ever. WWE just has everyone on Raw weekly, and you don't get that. I want to think about those dream matches. I want to imagine them. I want to live in a world where they're possible without returning stars, without Brock, without The Rock, without, you know, those guys. I want to have main roster dream matches, and I think we definitely are going to get that. The same way, to mention another good dream match built up in that era, Kurt Angle and Shawn Michaels was one as well, that they built up really well in a similar way.
Very true. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff to talk about. I guess we'll have weeks to take it all apart.
Yeah, it's exciting, though. It is an exciting time to be a WWE fan. And we'll have more about this as the weeks go on. Thank you for listening to this ProWrestling.net podcast. For more, make sure to subscribe to the show on iTunes, hit us up with a rating, and tell your friends. Also, please check out the goodness of ProWrestling.net membership. Bye!